Warning: the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. Once again, you're listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. And on the other end of the line is a man who once got locked inside of a golf course, Dave Cannon Ralston. How are you, mate?
Well, firstly, you've taken to those nicknames greatly.
I love it.
Look, Cannon doesn't bother me neither here nor there, but Disco does sound good, so no, that's good. Now, what are we saying? We got locked me in a golf course one day.
You did, yes. Tell us about that.
Now, look, funnily enough, I was going with Fixer. It seems like every time something goes wrong, I'm with Fixer. we were in Brisbane. We were living together, and we one Sunday arvo, we went and played a sort of a pitch and putt that was like, you know, an 18 holes, but every hole was about, you know, 80, 90, 110 metres. And I reckon the back part of the course there, hole 15, 16, was right down the back corner. And it got a bit dark, and as you know, Brisbane gets dark very quick. So I reckon what's happened is the guy who was running the show said, no one must be here, it's too dark. He's left and locked the gate. We've got back, and it was pitch black dark. We were hitting our balls and just guessing sort of thing. Got back, we've gone to drive out, the gate's locked, we couldn't get out. And I reckon it was probably late 90s, so were mobile phones around then? Because I don't reckon I had one.
Oh, I reckon, yeah, they would have been, but not mainstream.
Yep, no, there was a sign on the gate about security and that sort of stuff. We had no one to ring. I reckon we ended up throwing our golf towels on the fence to cover the barbed wire, and Fix had to climb the fence and then go knock on the lady's door over the road to make a phone call and all that and get us out. But here we got locked in a golf course because we were playing in the conditions that were that dark that no one should even be there.
Yeah, that's great. So where are you now? Every time we do this online over the phone podcast, I'd like to get an update on your situation. How are you bringing this one in?
I'm house sitting at Trasky's.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, the boss has gone to Las Vegas for his 40th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shout out to Trasky. We're supposed to be there, aren't we?
We were invited to this 40th, but I had to choose between, I've already missed your 40th. I missed Fix's 40th. And now I'm missing Trasker's 40th just because I'm so dedicated to work. It's just outrageous how into my work I am. But I am house sitting. And look, did I show you Trasky's house when you were over here?
Is it I went to his house. I don't know if it's the same one.
Oh, no, I think it's a different one, but it's just down the road. It is big, beautiful.
I remember he was looking at one just down. I think he actually might have bought it just when I was there.
Yeah, well, I'm in that one. So it's a big three-story, multi-million-dollar house and all that sort of stuff. So it's better than the one-room shack that I normally abode in. But I've also got a house city's dog. Now, his dog's cool. It's a good fun. I think it may be a little bit retarded. It's not the smartest dog in the world. That's what I'm up to at the moment. I'm house-sitting the house, which is great, and looking after his semi-retarded dog.
Oh, I wonder if the dog's thinking the same thing about you.
The dog's probably sitting there thinking, Trasky's left me with a semi-retarded bloody handler. So, yeah, he might be. All right, very good. Thank you.
And look, shout out to Trasky. Apologise for not, mate. As he'd be well aware, we'd both like to be on that trip.
Golf course is he playing when he's in Vegas? What's the real good one in Vegas he's playing?
I'm not sure. Wolf Creek?
Wolf Creek, that's it. Yeah, he's playing Wolf Creek. With the guy, remember the guy we played with the other day at Black Bull?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, yep. Him and Trasky are playing Wolf Creek in the next day or two, yeah.
Ah, nice. I had the pleasure of playing that with Pope's Wolf Creek on a Bucks party. Well, it's an unbelievably good track, that Wolf Creek.
So if we showed up to the 40th like we should have and were invited to, we'd be playing Wolf Creek as well.
That would be very handy. But
have to work.
Some of us have to work. Well, I don't. I've just got back off a week holiday, so I probably could have gone to Vegas. That's it.
Yeah, I know. What are we doing today? What's on today's show?
Well, we're gonna do a little bit of a Masters wrap up. We won't go into great detail because the Masters was a week and a bit ago, and most people sort of moved on from that. But we've been doing the Masters special, so we'll wrap that up. We've got our little draft that we've done that we've got to do some results to. And like I said, I've just got back off a week up New South Wales, sort of up the coast there, playing a few golf courses. So we might talk about one of those. But I reckon we start with a bit of Masters talk.
Oh, the Masters. All right. So we know that Patrick Reed won it.
Yes.
We know no one likes him. Apparently he's a jerk.
Yeah. Not a very popular individual at all.
But as fun, like the Masters just always brings up a story. There's always something about the winner. So our boy Spieth had a huge charge on the last day. Were you watching it?
Yeah, I got up. I actually got up. Most days I got up early, but I did, like, you know, I got up at sort of like 7 o'clock and started watching, 7 till 9:30. This time I actually got up on the dot and started watching from the start. I was right into it.
8 or 9 birdies to get to, what was he, 8 or 9 under with one to play? And
yeah, nearly shot the course record. That would have been a good little consolation prize.
But other than that, there was no real charge, was there? Rory made a little bit of a run, but he was the winner a long way out, wasn't he?
Yeah. Look, most people backed Rory going into that day, thinking he was going to overtake. And look, I didn't know the backstory to Reed and why no one liked him, but I was just cheering against him. I was loving cheering against him just because every other guy in the field we had in our draft, and I just wanted one of our guys to win it.
Well, how'd we go? Well, I reckon we drafted pretty well on the cursory look that I gave it. How'd we go? What did the points end up there?
All right, so I'll give you the rundown. So your highest scorer was actually Bubba Watson, who was tied for fifth. He was 14-1, so you got 70 points for Bubba Watson.
So Spieth finished in the top five, and he was the guy I drafted but traded to you.
That's correct, yeah. And I gave you...
Drafting was good, but me trading was bad.
Yeah. So Spieth ended up with 60 points, and McIlroy, who you got in that trade, got 40. So that was a bit of a wash.
All right, that's all right.
Okay, so you had McIlroy on 40, Dustin Johnson 16 points, Rose on 28, Watson on 70, Chappell missed the cut. He's the only bloke we drafted that missed the cut. I mean, we took a lot of the favourites.
25-1, and I was tossing up between him and Freddie Couples. I should have taken the old man Freddie Couples.
Yeah, actually, speaking of that, my brother Adam reckons that the easiest money you'll make every year is backing Freddie Couples to be the highest placed
senior.
Yeah, senior in the group. He reckons that comes through every year.
Yeah, he just loves the course, and it just suits him beautifully. Yep.
So your second best was Kuchar. You had made the cut, so you got 65 points, and you had Tiger Woods. Which you stole at the last thing, and you deserved only 4.5 points for that.
4.5. So what was my total?
So your total was 223.5.
223. And what was your total?
Okay. Well, I had Mark Leishman score 150, so he nearly beat you by himself.
Oh, wow.
he was one of my sub-ins at the end, 75-1. He made,
sub-ins, all right. Yeah,
the top 10 finish. So I had Spieth on 60. Ricky Fowler, who nearly won it at 20-1, got me a top five finish over times five, which was 100 points. Justin Thomas, which was my lowest on 9. Ram, who after picking him and then listened to a couple of guys who know golf, who do podcasts, were all saying that they don't like Ram at all. He's not set up for this. And I was like, oh, this is not going to. But he actually finished in fourth and netted me 90 points.
Beautiful.
Day at 16. And Rafa Cabrera Bello, who was 101, made the cut and scored me 100 points. So, with the Leishman's 150, all up, my total was 525.
Oh, you smashed me in a bit.
Yeah. So I had, in the end, you take out Reed, I had overall second place, overall third place, and overall fourth place, and a ninth place.
Wow.
So I've drafted
Did you actually have a real bet on them? You could have made some good money.
I actually didn't. I normally do have a go up and have a bit of a bet on the golf. And I was saying that the whole morning when I was watching it. I wish I had a bet because, like I said, I was right into it. It's the most I've ever been into a televised golf tournament.
Now, you know how, as I said, I was listening to a few pods about it. And we're talking about we've got to get there and all that sort of stuff. Now, I seen something the other day and advertised $1,000 off an early bird thing to get there. So it was a 4-day trip. Guaranteed tickets for the last 2 days, get to walk the course and all that, but $1,000 off. But actually then I didn't look into it enough to see what the actual price was. So it could be, you know, $20,000 down to $19,000 for the week. But, yeah, we've got to get there at some stage and have a look at that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, look, and that's something I wouldn't even mind being later on down the track when, like, the more we play golf, the more we appreciate it, the more we can't wait to, like, and the longer it takes to get there, the more you'd appreciate it.
And it's not going to change, too. It's not like we've got to see it now before it's different. I'd say it's been the same for the 80 years, and I reckon in 20 or 30 years' time it'll still be the same. But that said, I reckon we still make every effort to get there as soon as possible.
Yeah. Look, and the other thing, too, is the weather, it looked like there was pretty good weather for a couple of days too. And something about watching golf on TV, like, as you'd be well aware, we prefer to play in good weather. I prefer to watch golf in good weather too.
Fair enough.
Except it made the scoring, when it had that little bit of rain, it made the scoring a little bit better because the pros could actually, because it softened the greens up a little bit, so the pros could actually attack the pins a bit more.
Yeah, they just throw darts when the greens are soft. It's outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's good. But that's Masters for another year, I reckon. The winner and you pick plenty of top 10 guys. Well done.
Yeah. So we'll wait till next year and we'll do that draft again and see how that all pans out. Might actually put some money on them next year.
Yeah, and we won't get any other. None of them will make the cut. But no, that's good. So, right. What about you then? So you went on a little trip away. Where did you go play?
Yeah, so I went on a bit of a family trip up to the end destination was Naruma. But me and the girl I'm currently seeing, Karen, we left a bit early and went up through Canberra and played Federal to tick off another top 100.
Firstly, you're going on family trips without me now. That's a bit rude.
Yeah.
And you've substituted in Karen for me to play golf with. Gee whiz. I'm feeling a little left out here.
Well,
we had to get very serious before we played golf together. You must be very serious there with Karen to be playing golf with her. What, met the family and that sort of thing as well?
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, I did meet her father, which is sort of a bit interesting. He lives in Mulwala and we went there and had a few beers. He loves a beer. He's a typical sort of Aussie bloke, and we had a few too many, so we ended up having to stay at his place. So we've got a spare room set up there. The next morning, I wake up, Karen's gone. She's gone to work. I didn't even hear her go. I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, I walk out the lounge room, no one in the lounge room, they're thinking, what do I do here? And then out comes the old man, oh, look, you're still here. I'm just standing in his lounge room, he had no idea. And then his partner walks out, Luke, you're still here. It just leaves me in the house dry.
Oh, that could be awkward.
It was a little awkward, actually. But look, it's all going okay. Look, yes, like I said, we left on the Saturday morning, drove to Canberra, checked into a motel and went to the drive range that night and then got up and had a hit at the Federal, which is, like I said, the reason we done that was it's in the top 100 and it's sort of a bit out of the way. So I didn't know when I was going to get a chance to play that, so I thought I'd get there and tick that off. And it was okay. You've played it before, haven't you, the Federal?
Look, I reckon I played it as a teenager. So I reckon it's that long ago I played it with a teenager. And all I remember is a big par three with a really big hill, like a big fall-away cliff at the back of it. And that's it. But, yeah, I don't remember it as being overly outstanding or breathtaking by any means. How did you find it?
Well, I had the same sort of impression, like, for something that was ranked in the 40s, like I think it was 46, and the name Federal sounds like a really upmarket, like, you know.
Sounds like where the Prime Minister should be playing if he's having a hit in Canberra.
Yeah, and it's Canberra's obviously, you know, number one golf course or public golf course. And look, I enjoyed it. I wasn't taken back by any of the holes, to be honest. Look, it's defensive. It wasn't in the, like, it was a bit dry, like the, it wasn't very green. So that always distracts from a little bit.
That's the course's fault, though. The course needs to be green. That's sort of not in its defence. That's just a flaw of the course if it can't keep itself green.
Yeah, and look, and the other thing, too, is it was fairly hard, too. The greens, it was like playing Augusta. The greens, I don't reckon I've ever misread. You know some of the holes at Jubilee that they're just optical illusions, no one can pick it. Every green was like that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I don't reckon I've misread more and three putted more in my entire life. So that sort of, you know, I didn't play overly well, so that probably didn't help it either.
You know what you should have done?
What?
You should have got the Chili Dippers' favourite golfer, Robert Pinozzo, to carry your bag around and read the greens for you.
Oh, is he there? Up there, is he?
He's in Canberra. Yeah, he would have come around with you. I bet he'd know the greens like the back of his hand there at Federal, Snoswood.
Yeah, well, we even got paired with an old fella who did come around with us and was a member there and played a heap. And look, he did every tee box, he gave us a bit of a rundown on where to hit it, whatnot. But even with his help, it was still, yeah, I found it really hard. But look, the course is okay. One thing I did like is before the tee, when you're sitting around on the putting green, you get the little announcement over the microphone next to the tee, Luke Clark, Karen Mitchell, and Noel, mate. I like that touch. That's always good.
Yeah. How was the pro shop and the food and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah,
of course.
Pro shop was pretty good. The guy in the pro shop was super nice. He was actually unbelievably nice, because when we walked in, Karen paid for it all, and he sort of like, oh, you're paying. He looked at me, and I just gave him the, mate, I've got this sorted. Don't you worry. And he loved it. He thought
I can see why you've dumped me for Karen around the golf. I'm never paying for you. You've done well there.
Yeah, so he was really good. And every time we bought something, he's like, this $5 will do, mate. Like, and look, it helped that we had the night before, we went to like one of those big double story driving ranges. It was open late night, and the bloke in there just gave us nothing. So then to go to Federal and cop this bloke was really refreshing. But look, overall, look, it's a great course. I just don't know if it deserved its ranking of 46. Like, a couple of days later,
70s, 80s?
Yeah, look, this sums it up. Like, a few days later or later in the week, and I'm not going to talk about this course because we'll go and play this and we'll do a pot on this. So we played Mollymook, which is sort of an hour and a half up north of from Naruma, and it was spectacular.
Ulladulla way?
Yeah.
Yep. Ulladulla, so, right. I don't know Mollymook, yep.
Well, I think it's actually in Ulladulla. There's Ulladulla, and then there's the right on that is a place called Mollymook Beach.
Yeah.
And it's in there, and we will play. And it was spectacular, and it was ranked in the 80s. I reckon I'd easily swap them around, and I'd play Mollymook every time over Federal.
Well, that sounds good. Well, other than the pro shop and the bloke there, it sounds like I didn't miss much in the way of golf, other than having a round with you and Karen, which no doubt would have been enjoyable. But the course, only just a pass.
Yeah, look, only just. Like I said, if it was ranked in the 80s or 90s, I'd be a little bit more sort of like, yeah, it was okay. But ranked it, I expected a little bit more for that sort of ranking.
What was it? I always need to know how much they were. Was it expensive or fairly cheap?
The round was $80.
Oh, $80 and only, yeah, geez. Just because it should be ranked in the 80s doesn't mean it should be $80. Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, and I was actually saying to Karen driving home, like, I wonder how much of the rankings is, and not to knock out people at Golf Australia magazine, but do they look at it and think, geez, Canberra, that area's got none. Should we give this course a little bit of a bump up just because it's the best in this area sort of thing? Like, I wonder how much...
I really reckon that might be a factor. That wouldn't surprise me if that's a factor at all sort of thing, yeah. But yeah. All right, fair enough then.
Yeah, because you couldn't get the top 100 courses out and they're all being in Brisbane for, you know, like that sort of thing. Like, you spreading them out might be a factor.
All right, there we go. But that's it. Federal, we can did they have a ball with a sticker on it?
No, they didn't. No, Federal didn't. No, they didn't either. That's another. He was very apologetic though, and I reckon out of all of them that said they'll send me one, this bloke probably will.
All right, but so no sticker ball, not a great course, and $80. Geez, I'm starting to be pretty happy I missed.
Yeah, and unputtable greens.
Oh, gee, yeah, that could have got me in all sorts. Yes. I tell you, I bought a new putter.
You bought a new putter.
Yeah, I've bought a new Scotty Cameron.
A legit one or a knockoff?
Well, at this stage, it's legit.
Because I've got to ask.
Yeah, no. Yep, yeah, it's being mailed to my house in Australia. So hopefully it's there for our golf trip in a couple of weeks.
It's funny. Like, if I told you I got a new putter and you said, and I told you it was Scotty Cameron, would you have to ask me if it was legit?
No, I wouldn't. No, it's a fair question you asked me. But yeah, we'll examine it before we decide. Well, it'll be replacing my non-legitimate tailor-made putter anyway, so yeah, it won't matter. Yeah.
Okay, well, very good. That's a little bit of a tiny Masters wrap-up and a little bit of talk about Federal. So we could probably move on from that now. What do you reckon? Should we do a what's better or a top four? What do you got?
Let's roll into a top four first, just a short and sharp top four.
Okay, let's do it.
Top
four.
Ooh, come on now. All right, so I've got a top four. You want me to go?
Yeah, what's the top four today?
Well, as I said, because I'm house-sitting at Trasky's, I don't get the footy on the TV while the Commonwealth Games is on, but because he's got all the good TV stuff, I didn't. I watched the Collingwood Adelaide game, and Steel Sidebottom killed him. And Steel Sidebottom is a ripping name. It's just a cool, different name, isn't it?
Yes.
But that got me thinking: the top four sports names of all time.
So hang on. So you just say you didn't have, like, you were. You didn't have the Commonwealth Games? Is that what you said you didn't
have? No, I do. The Commonwealth Games have taken over the channel that play the footy.
Ah, okay. Did you have your phone? Did you have a text message available?
A text message? Why is that?
Could you not have sent me this top four so I could have joined in?
Oh, yeah, no. I could have done that. Yeah, no, I didn't have that. But okay. I did think of you. Sorry, Disco.
Okay, so this is Dave Rolson's top four.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention them to you and then you react to them. Yeah. I didn't want you to look up the same ones.
Okay.
That's fair. So number four is he's a former linebacker from the Chicago Bears,
mm-hmm.
Dick Butkus.
Yes, Dick Butkus. Yep, yep.
All right. Did you know him? You're aware of Dick
Butkus? Yep.
All right. Now, this had a Commonwealth game or Olympic Games theme. Now, remember the US swimmer, Misty Hyman?
Yeah, I think that was on made its rounds around the internet when that question came up on a game show and the host lost his shit.
Yeah, Misty Hyman. I remember her at the swimming. That's just an unfortunate name for the young lass.
Yes, it is.
All right, so number two, the guy's name was Johnny, but his nickname was Ugly. So Johnny Ugly Dickshot.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, he was a Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder.
Jeez, if dick shot's not early enough, then you get bloody ugly tacked ugly onto it.
Now, the next guy's another baseballer. He played for the White Sox, the Twins, and Detroit. His first name was Russell, but his nickname was Rusty, and it was one of those nicknames everyone thinks. So his name was Rusty Cunts.
No, I haven't heard of that one either.
A-U-N-T-Z.
Oh, my God.
Rusty Cunts. Look him up. There's a baseball card. Apparently his baseball card's worth a fortune.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so that's me number one. That's me top four. There's no top four names in sport.
And speaking of the Commonwealth Games, I couldn't have even told you they'll start, and I had no idea. I don't pay much interest in them at all. But being in a room...
Remember I sent you a real estate thing on a something about a hotel in Gold Coast, and you said, oh, I checked it up, it must be busy. Yeah. And I said, the Commonwealth Games are on, your dumb ass. You genuinely had no idea they were on.
Nah, didn't know. But I'll tell you one thing, being in Naruma on holidays for a week and we hired a house, having that on to watch every single night, it was really enjoyable. I actually really liked it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, to have a go-to, a sort of a nothing. It's a good nothing in the background to have on when you're just... Yeah, that's fair enough.
Particularly the women's pole vaulting. My God.
Oh, mate, I did send a text message to someone the other night about the women's pole vaulting. What a great event that was, yes.
Yeah.
That was on last night or the... that was on the Friday night. I was switching between that and the footy on Friday night.
Yeah, and there's a few things we could do without. We could do without the walking. That's just bloody retarded.
It's a disgrace.
Yep.
Well, they cheat. All of them cheat.
Yep.
If you know the technicalities of walking, they break the rules all the time. It's out and out disgrace.
And I reckon we could also get rid of anything synchronised. Like the diving, I don't mind watching the diving. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything about diving. But if you nail the entry, it's a 10 for me. I don't care what you did in the air. You could do a pin drop. If you come in with no water splashing up, I'm like, oh, he nailed that. Like,
you're right. Diving's cool. You just don't need synchronised diving. It's for one person. Yeah, you're right. You're right with that as well. Couldn't agree more. But, yeah, no, it was cool. The problem here was I got predominantly a New Zealand-based coverage, so I didn't get to watch a lot of the Australian sports. But
they could have fixed the coverage a little bit as far as, like, a lot of times you turned it on and you didn't know whether they were going for gold. You didn't know whether they needed an average of 8 to move into silver. You didn't know if it was a final or semi-final. They could have upped that a little bit. But, anyway.
Yeah. That women's pole vault was a great event and it was well covered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unlike their bums aren't well covered though.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was like watching a Victoria's Secret catalogue runway show. They did a ridiculous jump at the end of it.
Yeah, and look, not that I'm complaining, but they don't need to show. I think it's a little bit sort of intentional.
I think it could be a bit awkward or embarrassing for the young girls to have to wear as little as they wear.
Surely they don't have to wear that. They could choose to wear something more, I think. Anyway.
But they were fit, athletic, well-conditioned young ladies.
Yes. All right. Well, okay. Well, since you gave your a top four, we're going to expand this. I'll do a top four now. One I was going to send you, I've put some time and thought into. But I'll just read my top four out on a different subject matter and get your opinion on some of these, because this will be in your wheelhouse. You'll have something to say about these.
All right. So I don't get to, even though top four is my segment.
Your segment. I don't get to do one. Top four, how's that your segment?
Oh, I don't know. I thought, I'm obviously wrong. That's okay. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. This is my top four. It's the top four most hard to watch movie scenes that we've all seen.
Just before you go, I have become an eye coverer in movie. Like, I used to be able to watch anything, you know, cutting the guts up and all that sort of stuff. But now I sort of hold my hand up and cover half the screen and all that. I've become a bit squeamish in my old age.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee these are all eye cover material.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, this is good. I would have really liked to have had some time to think about and do this.
What you now? Okay. Well, okay. Coming in at number four, and I've given these all little names as well, okay? So coming in at number four is what I call The Nubbin, which is in the 1990 classic by Stephen King, Misery, with Kathy Bates, where she... where she plays Annie Wilkes, and she puts a little bit of timber between, she doesn't want the guy to leave the bed, so she puts a bit of timber between the two ankles, and then gets a big sledgehammer and just takes him off at the feet.
Yeah, that's James Caan, isn't it? Yeah, that's horrendous. Yep, that's tough to watch.
Yep.
Have you ever seen a Kathy Bates is the actress there.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Kathy Bates sex scene? They are really hard to watch.
All right, so this movie that I'm about to mention, there's some really good sex scenes in. So number three is Not So Cuticle, which is in the movie Black Swan, where Natalie Portman's pulling one of the cuticles on her finger and pulls it like she's having like a not a dream, but she's hallucinating, and she pulls the cuticle and it goes up her whole finger. We all know what it's like when you pull that little cuticle too far.
I get them on my fingers all the time. I hate them. They are a terrible thing to have, and I do remember that. That is, that's uncomfortable.
All right. So coming at number two in the most hard to watch movie scenes of all time that we've all seen is what I call Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
So American History X. Derek, who's played by Edward Norton, tells the guy to put his teeth on the curb. He's got a gun to his head because he tries to break into his house. He chases him out, catches him. He's on the ground. Gun to the head. He says, "Put your teeth on the curb." And then he says, "Now say goodnight." And he stomps on the back of his head. And it was one of the first movies I watched when I first got a really good sound system. And when he puts his teeth on that curb, you can hear the teeth scraping on the concrete.
I don't even want to talk about it, let alone it's that hard to watch. Yeah. That is really, really bad. Yeah.
Bottom line, just don't put your teeth on the curb. Like...
Shoot me.
Shoot me. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So that could have been number one, but this is my number one. This is what I call pins and too many needles. It's in Saw 2 when.
You could take a million scenes out of the Saw movies.
Yeah, absolutely cool. But this is the worst one where Shawnee Smith is in the. It's one where we're in the house and they're all going to try to find a special key. And there's a pit, they pull the bed back and there's a pit just full of needles.
Yes.
And the key's in there and the little kid's supposed to go in there, but she gets pushed instead and she just loses it and starts pushing her arms around everywhere and just comes up with a key and she pops by it and she's just got needles sticking out of it everywhere. Oh.
I had seen all them. Yeah, so you're right there. Saw's got all, you're a huge fan of the Saw movies.
I love the Saw films.
Well, I hadn't seen them until that years ago, and I saw two first and then one, and really enjoyed them. But I didn't get into 6, 7, 8, and 9.
They're all ridiculously good. And although one hasn't aged very well at all, I must admit.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple honourable mentions.
Oh, okay, yep.
So the honourable mentions are the detoothing from Castaway.
Castaway, D2.
No, detoothing in Castaway.
Oh, detoothing. Oh, yes, yep.
Yep. The de-arming in 127 Hours.
Oh, yeah. You know that guy's name's Ralston.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Aaron Ralston.
Yeah.
And actually, spelled, well, I was going to say correctly. Who's to say it's correct? But spelled the same as as mine, which is unusual. Yeah, that was bad, cutting his hand off, yep.
The D Achilles healing in Hostel.
I haven't seen Hostel.
Yeah, there's a scene where someone's sitting on a chair and they pop up behind and get the knife and slice their Achilles off. Yeah. And the other way, I don't know if you've seen the movie Mother. The whole last three quarters of that movie is very hard to watch.
I've heard that Mother's hard to watch.
Great movie. I recommend watching it, but it's just, yeah, it's very, very hard to watch.
Yep. All right, yeah.
So that's my top four.
I had seen most of them and all that and can't think of any off the top of my head that I would add to it. But, yeah, no, very good. Well done.
All right, well, I reckon we could probably, a couple of top fours there, a little bit of talk about the Federal and the Masters. We could probably wrap this podcast up, I reckon, Rolls. It's been 30 minutes.
Yeah, yep, all right. So, gee, we've gone off, so we're doing two top fours, not a top four and a question time, or not a something or a something. We're just, the producer's decided that's the way to go, has he?
Yeah, well, that's our style. We just wing it. We're never really structured at all. And look, we could throw into what's in what's better now, and it'll end up going too long. So we don't need to do that. We'll save them for next time. And I reckon we could probably end this podcast here.
Beautiful, all done, mate. Thanks for that. That's great.
All right. Any last words before we sign off?
It is very close to dinner time, so I will be cooking myself some chicken and beans.
Chicken and beans. All right, very good. All right. Well, as always, send some questions in. Look us up on Instagram, Chili Dippers. You know all the rules there. And until next time, talk some trash and work on your swing. Over to you, Hornsby.
See you, mate.
I'm driving down the highway, headed to the range. Gonna knock them out strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, where the grass don't grow, gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you, if you're just like me. I'm Chuck Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me.